Hey, everybody. This is Pastor Travis from AOL Church, and I want to thank you for joining us on our podcast. I pray this inspires you, encourages you, and leads you to your next step to connect with God. Enjoy the message.
All right. Well, you may be seated tonight. Well, it's good to be back with you guys. It's not good to be in this weather, but it's good to be back with you guys. And, man, it's great to be here. We rested. I turned my phone off for about 3 days. And that's the way to do it. Amen? And so, but I know Pastor Robert. Come on, let's give our staff a round of applause. Aren't they awesome? And that was the thing. I didn't worry about anything. I know Pastor Robert did an awesome job last Wednesday. And I know Pastor Daniel did a great job Sunday morning. The presence of God was here. And, man, I'm excited for what is ahead of us. We got Easter coming up, y'all. And I'm excited. We're going to have a Good Friday service. We've never had one before. The Lord put it on my heart last year to have one. And we're going to bring the big grit cross in here. The big grit cross in here. And coming in the door, we're going to have every family's going to get a rose. It's going to be a family service, all the kids in here, kind of like we do candlelight. And everybody gets a rose, and on that rose is going to be a 5x7 card. And at the end of the night, you're going to have something that you as a family is going to pin to the cross and give it to Jesus. And so I am excited. Who's excited for a Good Friday service? And then in one day, he resurrects on Easter Sunday. I know that's not very biblical, but that's the way we do it in America, right, Pastor Robert? And so we're going to have Resurrection Sunday. So we got some great stuff coming up, and I am thrilled to be a part of it. Y'all ready? Ephesians chapter 6. Have you guys got anything out of spiritual warfare so far? All right. Let's get some more. Ephesians chapter 6 and verse 10. It says this, "Finally, my brethren, be strong in the Lord and in the power of his might. Put on the whole armor of God that you may be able to stand against the wiles of the devil. For we do not wrestle against flesh and blood, but against principalities, against powers, against the rulers of the darkness of this age, against spiritual hosts of wickedness in heavenly places. Therefore, take up the whole armor of God, that you may be able to withstand in the evil day, and having done all to stand." Come on, church, stand therefore. "Having girded your waist with truth, having put on the breastplate of righteousness, and having shod your feet with the preparation of the gospel of peace. Above all, taking the shield of faith, with which you will be able to quench all the fiery darts of the wicked one. And take the helmet of salvation and the sword of the Spirit, which is the word of God, praying always with all prayer and supplication in the Spirit, being watchful to this end with all perseverance and supplication for all the saints." Going to do a recap of last week. I hope you got something out of the shield of faith. It is my favorite, except for tonight. Tonight's my favorite, okay? It's hard to have a good one you just absolutely love, right? Let's go over the recap here. Once again, if you failed to give the Word of God a place of top priority in your life, and you know tonight you can't talk about the helmet of salvation without talking about the Word of God. Those of you that were on this morning, I talk about a quote-unquote woke gay pastor that a TikTok video went viral of, I forget how many millions of views, and has been shared 200,000 times, of this guy saying that Jesus was a racist. And there is people that is blown up with that. You guys go back and watch, and I destroyed his teaching, did I not? I tell you what, I hope he calls me. I'm living for the day. I would love to sit down with you in a room in some boxing gloves. Never mind, not that. But I tell you what, calling my Jesus racist, I'm ready to fight. How many of y'all know he loves red, yellow, black, and white? Amen. We need to add another line of brown. And he loves President Trump, who is orange. Moving on. Once again, if you fail the Word of God, top priority in your life, it's only a matter of time before you're face will begin to dry up, because the presence or neglect of faith is determined by the presence or neglect of God's word. Faith and the word of God are inseparable. Amen. Faith is a result of the importation of God's word into your heart. If the word of God does not have an important place in your schedule, it will be impossible for you to grow in faith. Like a wide, long shield, the faith God has given you is adequate to cover every need that could ever arise in your life. Isn't that awesome how it's like a door, and we go from faith to faith. We go from glory to glory. It's in Romans. He says we go from faith to faith. Isn't that where it says it? Romans 1. And each one, it gets a measure of faith. And I'm telling you, as you grow with the Lord, your faith will get bigger. I've said it before. It's like the Johnny Cash song. Where'd you get this Cadillac? Well, it's a 49, 50, 51, 52, 53, 54, 55, 56. I love it too. But what is he saying? This car was made from all those years. Your faith should be getting bigger and bigger. You ought to have faith from 2012. You ought to have faith from 2013. You ought to have faith from 2014. You ought to have faith this year. Let it grow. Let it grow. Let it grow. I just came from Disney, y'all. I'm feeling magical right now. No matter how hard and how long the enemy beats against your faith can outlast his attack. Amen? Any of you that have sat under the teaching of Pastor Ty, I know that you know that. Amen? Thank God for those teachings. I just want to say I had the best time with him. I know you guys are jealous of me, and you should be, because I just had a blast with him. All right? All right, moving on. I'm just feeling my oats tonight, aren't I? The shield of faith that God has given you is strong, long-lasting, and durable faith. If the Roman soldier wanted to live a long life, it was very important for him to pick up the vial and apply the oil to a shield every single day of his military life. Isn't that good? That's so good. Because the shield is a representation of our faith, this analogy tells us that our faith requires frequent anointing of the Holy Spirit. Play it safe and assume that your faith always needs a fresh anointing. By taking this approach, you will always seek to do what is necessary to keep your faith alive, active, and well. We must make certain that we are allowing the Holy Spirit to freshly anoint our lives on a daily basis as we regularly saturate our faith with the water of the Word. I love that they would take their shields and they would take them down to the river, the washing of the water of the Word. I love it. Faith cometh by hearing, and hearing the word of God. Faith is designed to be out in front where it completely covers you in every situation of your life. When a believer puts away his faith, it always leads to a spiritual shipwreck. Right? There's a lot more here, but let's go to the helmet of salvation. I'm ready to go. Hey, I want to thank all of you being here tonight on a cold night. All of you that are online, I just want to let you know that everybody in the room, they're going to heaven. Moving on, I'm telling you, I'm full of it tonight. I had a good vacation. I'm like back to my wits here. All right. The helmet of salvation, y'all ready to go? Oh, man, this is good stuff. I'm actually moving on here because we have a lot to cover. And want to get you out of here in decent time. Ephesians chapter 6, verse 17, King James Version says, "And take the helmet of salvation and the sword of the Spirit, which is the word of God." We read in New King James earlier, but the Amplified says, "And take the helmet of salvation and the sword of the Spirit, which is the word of God." The Passion Translation, this is pretty good. "Embrace the power of salvation's full deliverance, like a helmet to protect your thoughts from lies," and we're going to talk about that in detail tonight, "and take the mighty razor-sharp spirit sword of the spoken word of God." We'll talk about that next week. But I don't know if you've noticed, but God has given us 3 offensive weapons and 3 defensive weapons and 1 neutral weapon. The breastplate, the shield, and the helmet are defensive weapons. All 3 of these weapons protect you and give you confidence and assurance so you can move forward in your spiritual growth. The 3 offensive weapons are the shoes, the sword, and the lance. These are weapons that enable you to enforce and demonstrate Satan's already secured defeat. kind of getting ahead of you guys, but the first one was offensive, the second one was defensive, and the third one was neutral. The neutral weapon is the loin belt, which is representative of the Word of God. I'm going to go to that again. It is the central piece of weaponry that holds all these other pieces together. Without this central piece of spiritual armor, the written word, the other pieces of armor cannot function properly in your life. Amen? Also, it is important to be reminded that all these pieces of weaponry come from God. To walk in them and to see them work in your personal life mandates that you live in the presence of God. Just as you draw your power and your nature from God, so also you must draw your spiritual weaponry from Him. He is the source of origination for everything you have, including your spiritual armor. He says in the scripture, and take the helmet of salvation. The Roman soldier's helmet was a fascinating and beautiful part of his armor. It was a flamboyant piece of weaponry, very ornate and intricate. In fact, it looked more like a piece of artwork than a helmet. Rather than being a simple piece of metal formed to fit his head, the Roman soldier's helmet was highly decorated with all kinds of engravings and etchings. It was not uncommon for pastoral farm scenes with animals to be depicted on the helmet of the Roman soldier. Frequently, the entire helmet of the Roman soldier was fashioned to look like the head of an elephant, a horse, or another animal. Other helmets had ornate engravings and etchings of fruit all over them. Think of how odd some of these helmets must have been to behold. The Roman soldier's helmet often looked more like a piece of sculpture than a piece of armor. As if these fabulous engravings and etchings were not enough, a huge brightly colored feather or horsehair stood straight up out of the top of the helmet. If the helmet was one to be used in a public ceremony or parade, this brightly colored piece could be very long. Long enough to hang all the way down to the soldier's back. The helmet was made of bronze and equipped with pieces of armor that were specifically designed to protect the cheeks and the jaws. It was extremely heavy. The interior of the helmet was lined with spongy material in order to soften its way up on the soldier's head. The piece of armor was so strong, so massive, and so heavy that nothing could pierce it, not even a hammer or a battle axe. It would be very hard to walk past one of the soldiers without noticing him. You would definitely take note of a man who had a piece of sculpture on his head. And certainly your eyes would follow a man who had a brightly colored feather standing straight up on top of his helmet. These helmets undoubtedly made the Roman soldiers noticeable. You know what? Your salvation ought to be noticeable to your family. It ought to be noticeable to your coworkers. It ought to shine. 2 Corinthians 5:17, we are a new creation in Christ. Old things pass away. Behold, everything has become brand new. So you ought to reflect that. Your attitude ought to reflect that. Do people at Pack-A-Sack see you as a jerk, or do they see you somebody who is saved? Just asking for a friend. All right? It's a gorgeous gift. Why would the Holy Spirit compare a piece of weaponry like this to salvation? Because your salvation is the most gorgeous. Your salvation is the most gorgeous, most intricate, most elaborate, and most ornate gift God ever gave you. Paul calls this incredible gift the helmet of salvation. He uses the example of the Roman soldier's helmet to make his point. He likens salvation to the flamboyant helmet that was worn on a soldier's head where everyone would notice it. And just to make sure everyone noticed his helmet, the soldier had a feather or horsehair standing straight up on top. By using this example, Paul is telling us something very important. When a person is confident of his salvation and when he is walking in the powerful reality of all that salvation means for him, that person is noticeable. The word helmet is taken from the Greek word parakephalia. The word peri means around, and the word kephalia is the Greek word for head. When these two words are compounded together, it denotes a piece of armor that fits very tightly around the head. Why did a Roman soldier need a helmet? Because his opponent carried a short-handled axe called the battle axe, and when a battle axe were used, heads rolled. If the Roman soldier didn't have the helmet on when he was out to fight, he could be absolutely certain that he would lose his head. So the Roman soldier's helmet was not merely a piece of weaponry. It was something intended to save a man's head. Get this tonight. That's exactly what salvation will do for you when you wear it like a protective helmet on your head. On the other hand, if you don't walk in your salvation and all that your salvation entails, you may feel the brunt of the enemy's battle axe coming to attack your mind and steal your victory. If your salvation, like a helmet, is not worn tightly around your mind, the enemy will come to chop the multiple benefits and blessings of your salvation right out of your belief system. He will walk away at your he will walk away at your spiritual foundation, trying to tell you that healing, deliverance, preservation of mind and soundness are not really a part of Jesus' redemptive work on the cross. By the time the enemy is finished with your mind, the only thing he will leave you with is heaven. By exposing your unprotected mind to the devil's lies, insinuates you are placing yourself in a position to be deceived. In fact, to face the adversary without your helmet of salvation is equivalent of spiritual suicide. Many believers try to do the work of God without making it a personal goal to walk in the full knowledge of their salvation. And as a result, they are spiritually slaughtered. A believer must have this helmet on if he is going to be useful to the kingdom of God. How is the enemy going to attack you? How is he going to try to wage warfare against you? How is he going to try to do you in? The devil comes to attack your mind. How many times have we done this in spiritual warfare? It's right here. Satan knows that your mind is the control center of your life. We talked about this a lot in earlier sessions. He knows that if he can seize control of your thought life, he can then begin to extend his influence to other areas. From this position of control, he will try to manipulate your emotions, send sickness and disease to attack your body, and so on and so forth. To protect us from such access, God has given us the helmet of salvation. The fact that Paul likened salvation to a helmet means that we must learn about our salvation and find out all that it includes inside and out. One, we must spend time studying what the Bible has to say about healing. We must spend time what the Bible has to say about our deliverance from evil powers. We must spend time studying on redemption and its beneficial consequences in our life. Our intellectual understanding and comprehension of salvation and all that it encompasses must be ingrained into our minds. When our minds are convinced of these realities, when our minds are trained and taught to think correctly in terms of our salvation, that knowledge comes a protective helmet in our lives. Once the knowledge of our salvation and all that it becomes a part of us, it won't matter how hard the devil tries to hit and whack away at us. We will know beyond a shadow of a doubt what Jesus' death and resurrection purchased for us. At that point, the enemy will no longer be able to attack our minds as he did in the past, because he won't be able to get past our helmet of salvation. Armed and dangerous. Paul commands us to put on the whole armor of God, that you may be able to stand against the wiles of the devil, Ephesians 6:11. When God sends you forward to reinforce the victory of Jesus Christ over Satan in various areas of your life, he doesn't send you out naked and defenseless. Can I get an amen? I believe that. He gives you armor. Specifically for our subject right now, he gives you the helmet of salvation. Without that helmet, you will be open for attacks by the wiles of the devil. Because it is so important to understand how the wiles of the devil work against us, we must quickly review the word wiles, devices, and deception. How many of y'all were here when we talked about these? These three words are foundational to our understanding of how the devil successfully defeats believers. In review, the word wiles is taken from the word methodos. This word is a compound of the word meta, which means with, and the word odos means a road. The word odos is where we get the word odometer, which is an instrument in your car that measures how many miles you've driven on the road. Take it as one word, methodos literally means with a road. What is God's word saying? It is saying that when the devil works against a believer, he does it with one road, a road. In other words, there is no creativity or variety with the devil. He uses only one road, one avenue, or one line of attack in the life of a Christian. The enemy has only one way to work, and he always attacks believers in the same way over and over. How many of y'all can testify to this? However, we know that all roads go somewhere. So where do you suppose the devil's road goes? To our next one, playing mind games. This question leads us to the second word that has to do with how the devil works in the life and mind of a believer, the word devices. Paul said, "For we are not ignorant of his devices." That's in 2 Corinthians chapter 2 and verse 11. "Lest Satan should get an advantage of us, for we are not ignorant of his devices." What is a device? The word device comes from the Greek word pneumata, which is from the root word nous, a word for mind. However, it can be translated as a scheming of the mind. A modern-day translation of this verse could read, "We are not ignorant of the mind games that the devil tries to pull on us." Have you ever experienced one of the devil's mind games? Uh-oh. Lord help him. When we put these first two words together, we see the devil works with a wile, or he works with a road. Where is that road headed? It is headed for your brain. And if the devil can get a foothold inside your brain, he is going to pull a device on you and start messing around with your mind. Now we come to the third word that has to do with the way the devil works in the life of mind of a believer. It's the word deception. It's the word deception. It's a lie from the pit of hell. And the only way deception works is if you believe the lie. Don't believe the lie. Which is taken from the word dolios. The word doesn't mean to deceive accidentally or haphazardly. It means to deceive with purpose. There's purpose behind it. The word can be found throughout the New Testament in verse that are connected with the devil's deceptive abilities. In its most literal sense, the word dolios means to beat someone, as in setting bait in front of a fish. By putting these three words together, we see exactly how the devil works in a believer's life and mind. Again, the enemy comes with a wile, which means with a road. That diabolical road is headed for the mind. If the devil can beat down a believer's resistance, he can then begin to wage warfare in the person's mind with a device or a mind game. Once the mind games are in full motion, Satan then beats the believer with lying accusations and slanderous allegations. If the believer's perception believes the lies to be true and bites the bait, the process of deception is then fully implemented in his or her life. Stronghold, what is it? 2 Corinthians chapter 10 and verse 4. "For the weapons of our warfare are not carnal, but mighty through God to the pulling down of strongholds, casting down imaginations and every high thing that exalted itself against the knowledge of God, and bringing into captivity every thought to the obedience of Christ." Especially notice that Paul says spiritual weapons are effective at pulling down strongholds. Did you see it? There's a lot of talk today in the body of Christ about strongholds. I've heard many. In fact, I've heard a lot of it here recently, actually. In light of this, we must ask, what is a stronghold? The word stronghold comes from the Greek word akuroma. It is one of the oldest words in the New Testament and was what originally was used to describe a fortress. This is so good. By New Testament times, the same word depicted a prison. A more accurate rendering of the word would be to the pulling down of fortresses. Or you could even translate it to the pulling down of prisons. Both of these are correct and convey two powerful messages to us about strongholds. In the first place, this tells us that a stronghold is like a fortress, which is a fortified place, such as a citadel, a fort, or a castle. Fortresses have exceptionally thick walls to keep outsiders from breaking in. To ensure that outsiders didn't scale the walls and break in, people built the walls of their fortresses very high. These high walls were designed for one primary purpose, to keep intruders outside. The word stronghold was later translated as the word prison. What does a prison do? It serves the opposite purpose of a fortress. A fortress keeps outsiders from getting in. A prison keeps insiders from getting out. Prisons are places of detention or holding tanks, places such as dungeons or jails. Like fortresses, prisons also have high walls. Prisons have bars of steel to keep prisoners in captivity. The fact that the word stronghold can be translated as both the words fortress and prison tells us some important things about strongholds. Y'all ready? In the first place, this emphatically means that when a person has a mental or emotional stronghold in his life, he has walls around him that are so thick others cannot seem to break through the barrier to help them. Those invisible walls keep outsiders from getting in. Like invisible walls, strongholds are rooted in people's minds and emotions to keep others from getting too close to them. I've seen this so many times. This is a trick of the devil to keep people isolated and far removed from those who could help bring freedom to their life and in their minds. Please understand that the strongholds does not suddenly pop up in a person's life overnight. Amen. You can be sure that when the adversary first begins to attack a believer's mind and fill it with fear, the Holy Spirit tries to warn that person about it. But suppose that person allows those lies to go unresisted in his mind. Suppose he permits wrong thinking and wrong believing to go unchallenged hour after hour and day after day. The devil would begin to use those lies, insinuations, and unrealistic fears to build thick walls around the individual's life. The person will become besieged and taken captive mentally and emotionally by the lying allegations of the enemy. How do these kind of destructive strongholds affect your life? Unrealistic fears of rejection will keep you from developing healthy relationships in your life. Y'all believe that? Seen it 100 times. Unrealistic fears about the future of your marriage will hinder you from functioning in the marital relationship as God intended for you. Unrealistic fears about potential failure will keep you from stepping out to obey God and do something worthwhile for your life. I mean, we're just getting started, right? In such cases, you must command the devil in the name of Jesus to release his claim on your mind and your emotions. There's another step that you must take first. The first step to taking care of strongholds in your life is to recognize your responsibility in the matter. You permitted your mind and emotions to get into this mess. Repentance. You know what we need to hear more in churches across America? Repentance. You know what you'll hear in this church is repentance. Go the other way. Repentance for allowing the mental and emotional strongholds to develop in your life is absolutely essential before all else. Until you have taken the first step, no other progress will occur. But once you have repented, the power of God will cooperate with you as you seek to daily renew your mind to right thinking and right believing with the Word of God. What's it say in James 5:17? It says, the effectual fervent prayer of a righteous man availeth much. And it says, confess your sins one to another. You want the power of God? Repentance is necessary. A stronghold is not only like a fortress, but like a prison. In other words, those same walls that keep other people from getting in will also keep a person from breaking out, becoming all that God meant for him to be. Are you guys getting this? This is revelation right here. Like the steel bars of a prison, those metal strongholds hold that person captive by making him believe the lie that he will fail, that no one wants him, that he isn't worth anything, and so on and so forth. Individuals who have these kind of strongholds in their lives are in bondage both mentally and emotionally. Sometime in the past, the enemy located an open door in their life. Then after passing through that entrance into the mind, he began to process the process of taking their thoughts captive through his lies. The result is always the same. Strongholds are built that act as a prison, preventing these individuals from breaking free to fulfill their God-ordained purpose on this earth. There are two kinds of strongholds. There are two kinds of strongholds. There's rational and irrational. There's rational and irrational. Man, this is going to break wide open for you tonight. The rational strongholds are the hardest to deal with because they usually make sense. Paul refers to the rational strongholds when he says casting down imaginations. The word imagination is taken from the Greek word logismos. It is where we get the word logic, as in logical thinking. Thank God for a good sound mind, but even a good sound mind must be submitted to the sanctifying work of the Holy Spirit. Otherwise, that mind will begin to dictate your life from a stronghold of natural reason. I wonder how many people have been called by God to go into the ministry but then did not go because they rationalized away that divine call. I wonder how many people have been bombarded with thoughts such as, you can't go into the ministry. You have a wife, three children, or four children, a monthly house and a car payment to make. You can't obey God. People who call themselves thinkers, are prone to fall prey to such rational strongholds. Because they are rational thinkers anyway, they are naturally inclined to allow their mind to dominate them and to conquer their faith. The logical mind, although necessary and wonderful, will work against your spiritual life unless it is submitted to the control of the Holy Spirit. We've got to submit some things to the Holy Spirit. Our life. The submitted rational mind will always try to talk you out of doing things God's way. That means if you don't take charge of your mind, it will begin to completely dominate and control your will to obey God. I believe that. In addition to rational strongholds, there are irrational strongholds. Everyone has fallen prey to these irrational strongholds from time to time. Irrational strongholds primarily have to do with fears and worries that are completely unrealistic. I was talking in prayer this morning. Not that this is unrealistic, but isn't it amazing how fear is taught? Like a baby, you could bring a baby up here. He's in his carriage. You could put a spider in there, and he'd play with the spider. But you give that to mama, mama's hiding. On that plane ride, I'm telling you, Disney had nothing on that plane ride, y'all. Coming from Dallas to here, and I'm telling you, it was turbulent. And the kids, in fact, the kid behind us, I heard him tell his dad, "Dad, can you find out who this pilot is? He made that ride fun." And I promise you, Brandy, she was, I mean, she was praying in the Holy Ghost. You couldn't get a needle in my butt with a sledgehammer, I promise you. Moving right along. Oh, Lord. But I was thinking about that. Isn't it amazing? No kid was scared. But all the because we've seen things and we've heard things. It's right here, y'all. It's unrealistic. These include such strongholds as a fear of disease, a fear of dying early in life, an abnormal fear of rejection, a fear of financial collapse, and so forth. How many of you ever been? I remember years ago, first time I ever had high blood pressure, I didn't know what was going on. I just felt like somebody was driving a nail through the top of my head, and I was wound up tighter than I already am. And, like, I needed any help with that, and I went in, and it was super, super high. And when they told me that, and then they start telling you all the things that can happen from high blood pressure. Isn't it amazing in moments like that, you can have a sore on your finger, and you think you're going to die. Isn't it crazy how the enemy, an open door, he's coming right in. He's coming right in. These irrational strongholds in the mind, emotions, and imaginations will often play their course and eventually dissipate. After a time, it becomes apparent that such fears are ridiculous and unfounded, even to those who are dominated by them. Frequently, these ridiculous yet captivating thoughts lose their power as soon as a person tells a friend or spouse what he or she has been thinking. Irrational strongholds are so ridiculous that you finally wake up to the realization that this is a trick of the enemy to enslave you and keep you from functioning normally in life. But if these harassing thoughts persist in your mind and insist on controlling you mentally and emotionally, you must obey the word of God and deal with them straightforwardly. This is why Paul says, bringing into captivity every thought to the obedience of Christ. Notice that Paul doesn't say one thing about the devil in this verse. Y'all see that? Paul doesn't say in bringing the devil into captivity. Who wants that anyway? Get rid of him. Rather, he says in bringing into captivity every thought to the obedience of Christ. The truth is, if you don't take your thoughts captive, your thoughts will take you captive. Let me draw your attention to the phrase bringing into captivity for a moment. This phrase is taken from the Greek word, that one. It is a brutal word that means to take one captive with a spear pointing into his back. By electing to use this word, Paul let us know that our thoughts are not going to be taken captive easily. We must be determined to take them captive regardless of the opposition that we face. We must be brutal with ourselves and forcibly seize control of our minds. If our minds and our emotions try to get away from us, we must grab hold of them and force them into submission. Also, the word thought in this verse is taken from the word neoma, which is the same meaning as the word devices that we saw in 2 Corinthians 2:11. Paul is talking about mind games again. Paul continues to tell us that these mind games must be brought to the obedience of Christ. The word obedience is from the word hupako, something like that. I think I know him, actually, which is a compound of the word hupo and akuo. The word hupo means under, and the word akuo means hear or I'll listen. The word akuo is where we get the word acoustics. This is good. This is the picture of forcing someone into a subordinate position and then making him listen to you. Remember, Paul is talking about mental strongholds and mind games that the devil uses to attempt to manipulate and control you. Rather than listen to these lying emotions and slanderous accusations, you must lay hold of your mind and tell it to submit and listen to what the Word of God has to say. Oh, that's good. When you choose to do this, this is the very moment that the renewing of your mind begins to work wonders in your life. This is when real mental renovation begins. Oppression, what is it? On the other hand, we choose to let our minds and emotions to continue to dominate and control us. We will become oppressed. What is oppression? We see it in Acts 10:38. God has anointed Jesus of Nazareth with the Holy Ghost and with power, who went about doing good and healing all that were oppressed of the devil, for God was with him. This word oppression is taken from the Greek word katu. Hallelujah. I've just learned just to say hallelujah right there. I need to be better at this, y'all, really. Which is a compound of the word kata and dunamis. Kata denotes something that is dominating and manipulating. Dunamis refers to a power that is explosive. Oppression is therefore a force that comes to a powerfully dominate and manipulate. It was technically used to portray a wicked tyrant or an evil king who has so forcibly imposed his will on his subjects. The tyrant told the people what they would eat, where they would live, what kind of money they would make, if you could have guns, and how many bullets. Wait, I made that part up. I don't know. I ain't worried anyway. I don't even have any guns, Robert. Neither do you. I see there? Hallelujah. He imposed his will on them against their wishes. Therefore, when a person is oppressed, his mind and emotions are manipulated and dominated by an outside source. I've never seen this before. The devil, like a wicked tyrant, comes to impress or oppress the person, telling him, the person telling him what his future will or will not hold, what his self-image is, and whether or not he has hope of advancement in life. When a stronghold in the mind remains unchallenged, it will eventually turn into a serious case of oppression. And when oppression sets in, the end result is hopelessness. Salvation protects your mind. When the helmet of salvation is wrapped tightly around your mind, the devil's strategies to take you captive cannot work. That is why salvation is depicted in Ephesians 6 as the defensive weapon. It's a weapon that protects your mind from such assaults. When a strong knowledge of your salvation is wrapped around your mind, you will never again fall prey to the devil's tactics. With the helmet of salvation tightly fitted tightly in place, your mind is in safe keeping. You are protected. Remember, the devil knows that if he is going to attack you, he must begin his attack in your mind, since it's strategic control center of your entire being. If the enemy can get a foothold in your mind, he can get a foothold in your body. I believe that. You believe that? But if he has no say in your mind, then he has no say in your body, in your family, or in your finances. That mind of yours is extremely important. God gave you a brain, and he didn't give it to you so you could set it on the back burner. God wants to use your mind. Amen? 1 Peter 1:13 says, "Wherefore, gird up the loins of your mind, be sober, and hope to the end for the grace that is to be brought unto you at the revelation of Jesus Christ." God is saying, gather up the loose ends of your mind and get your mind into good shape. If the devil can wear you out in your mind, you will lose out in the long run. If you plant a seed of unbelief in your mind and you allow it to grow, you will end up in a terrible condition. That mind of yours is vitally important, and God did not leave it unprotected. He gave you a helmet, and he called that gorgeous, elaborate, intricate piece of defensive weaponry salvation. Your helmet of salvation provides you with all kinds of God-given attributes and benefits. It gives you deliverance from sin, salvation from hell, divine protection, preservation, healing, wholeness, and complete soundness of mind. In other words, God has given you all you need to withstand every assault of the great deceiver, Satan himself. A sound mind. A primary emphasis of this chapter is to see what the helmet of salvation does for us. 2 Timothy 1:7, "For God has not given us the spirit of fear, but of power and of love and of a sound mind." What is a sound mind? Our translation says sensible thinking. If you read it in the NIV, I think that's what it says. The word for sound mind or sensible thinking is taken from the Greek word sephrenio. It's a compound of the word sozo, which means saved or delivered, and the word phroneo, which refers to intelligent thinking. Put the two words together, and the new word means to have a saved mind or a delivered mind. In other words, this describes a mind that has been set free from this thinking in his thinking correctly. You might say that this is a picture of a saved brains. When your mind is guarded and renewed by the Word of God, you will think saved thoughts. When you have a renewed mind, it seems perfectly rational to walk by faith. When you think with a renewed mind, it sounds perfectly logical to obey God with your money. It is why Paul is saying, Timothy, why are you allowing fear to control your mind and emotions? God hasn't given you the spirit of fear, but of love and of power, and He has given you a mind that has been delivered. Isn't that good? When you are walking in the full knowledge of your salvation, you think and talk like a saved man or a woman. When your mind is renewed with the Word of God concerning all the blessings contained in your salvation, you think and talk like a saved man and woman. When your mind is filled with the goodness of God because salvation is tightly wrapped around your mind, you think and talk like a saved man or woman. Some people have been saved for years, but they do not think or talk like a saved person. I don't need a show of hands right now, or elbows throwing, or pointing. Some Christians have more unbelief about what they think God can't do than they have faith in what He can do. This is what happens when saved people don't walk in the knowledge of their salvation. On the other hand, when I believe or meditate on the Word of God and begin to comprehend multiple blessings contained in His salvation, all I can think or talk about is what God can do. You think differently when you wear your helmet of salvation. Why is this important? Because when you begin to live a life of faith, when you reach out to do the impossible, the enemy will try to assault you mentally and emotionally in an attempt to stop your progress. The devil may speak to your mind and say, you can't do this, you can't do that. This doesn't make sense. Don't you know that you have a car payment to make? What will your family and friends think about this? He may try to penetrate into your mind so he can play mind games with your head and ultimately succeed in deceiving you. That's why it's so important to make certain that you are growing in the knowledge of your salvation. Take care to guard your mind with the Word of God. And wear your helmet of salvation by filling your mind with the Word of God. When you walk in your helmet of salvation, you think like God thinks. You reason like God reasons. You believe what God believes, and you act like God acts. Romans 8:6. For to be carnally minded is death, but to be spiritually minded is life and peace. Titus 1:15 says, unto the pure of all things are pure, but unto them that are defiled and unbelieving is nothing pure, but even their mind and conscience is defiled. Although these verses are about a lost man's mind, there are plenty of believers out there who still walk around with their natural carnal mind controlling them. It doesn't matter how many years you have been saved. If you take off your helmet and stop walking in the knowledge of your salvation, you will end up with a mind that is contaminated and defiled. Do not underestimate the importance of filling your mind with the proper understanding and knowledge of your salvation. Don't underestimate. Salvation is a powerful piece of weaponry. If it is allowed to function correctly in your life, it will defend your mind from every mental attack the enemy might wage against you. However, the moment you take off your helmet of salvation, the devil is going to start hitting your mind and emotions and toss you here and there. And if you don't put that helmet back on, you will start believing God one moment and doubting Him the next. In a very real sense, you will become spiritually deformed if you do not walk through life wearing your helmet of salvation. Do you want to live life spiritually deformed? If not, you better place your helmet of salvation tightly around your mind and make sure it stays on or there. Salvation, what does it mean? The word salvation literally means saved or delivered. How many of y'all been saved or delivered out there? In the broadest sense of the word, it means to be brought into a safe place. The Greek word means to be saved, to be delivered from danger, and to be brought into a safe place. So we see that when a person is saved, he is delivered from danger and brought into a safe place. He is rescued from a place of danger. Being spiritually lost is dangerous, is a dangerous condition to be in. For a lost person is under the dominion of Satan. But when he is safe, he is brought out of that dangerous place and brought into a place of safety. And the knowledge of the gospel message sets his mind free. A transformed mind. We're almost done here. It is very pertinent that Paul viewed your salvation as a helmet upon your head and mind. After all, when you were saved, God rescued you, not just spiritually, but mentally. Amen? Amen. Prior to our salvation, we were members of Satan's slave market in our minds, and we're accustomed to thinking just like the rest of the world. Ephesians chapter 2 and verse 3, this is great. Among whom also we all had our conversation in times past in the lust of our flesh, fulfilling the desires of our flesh and of the mind, and were by nature the children of wrath, even as others. That word wrath means we were bent out of proportion. So good. What a bad way we were in. What the devil had done to us was incredible. He left his marks and scars all over our minds and emotions during the time we were under his control. But now that God has delivered us, Colossians chapter 1, verse 13, who hath delivered us from the power of darkness and hath translated us into the kingdom of his dear Son. What a great scripture. We must not allow his power to work in our minds and renew them to right and renew them to right thinking, to save thinking. God doesn't want even one area of your mind to think like the world, the way you used to think. God doesn't want one cell in your brain to have unbelief in it. That is not his will. Instead, God intends for every cell in your mind to be dominated by your new birth. He intends for your mind to think like a mind that is controlled by the Holy Spirit. You may ask, how do I get my mind into that kind of condition? First, get in touch with the power of God. First, get in touch with the power of God. That's the number one thing in order to be walking in spiritual armor. Ephesians 6:10, be strong in the Lord and in the power of his might. When that strength comes to you, it will clothe you in a spiritual armor. But there is a second thing you have to do. It's found in Ephesians 6:17. Paul says, and take the helmet of salvation. The word take is translated from the word receive 40 times in the New Testament. This verse would be better translated, and receive the helmet of salvation. God is not going to force a renewed mind on you. You have to receive the helmet of salvation. That means you have a part to play in the saving of your mind. How do you do that? You put on salvation. You put the helmet of salvation on your head by studying what the Bible has to say about your salvation. Know what the Bible teaches about Jesus, his redemptive work to deliver. He'll preserve and give a sound mind to you. Never stop meditating on those truths, even after you know all your salvation includes inside and out. Never stop pursuing it. Rap, not like rap. That's misspelled, isn't it? Wow, Jennifer. Just kidding. She's going to yelp me later. I can already see her, like, creeping through there. We're going back to the basics of the hip-hop stage. All right. Wrap that knowledge of salvation around your brain and let it protect your mind. As you do, you will begin to be transformed. You will no longer think and talk like an individual who is constantly sick. You no longer think and talk like an individual who is poor. You will no longer walk through life like an individual who is continually defeated. Can I tell you? I'm telling you, when people get a revelation of this, you can see it all over them. You can see it all over them. That's why this helmet needs to be seen. What will make the difference? Your mind will be filled with the knowledge of salvation, and the new knowledge will begin to change not only the way you think and talk, but also the way you experience life. The devil wants to rob you of every blessing that God has prepared for you. Satan wants to take every good thing from you that he can. So it's up to you to fill your mind with all that God has done for you. Let that knowledge of salvation and all its benefits become like a helmet of bronze on your head to protect your mind from the battle axe of the enemy. As you faithfully meditate on the Word of God and allow it to work in your thought life, your mind will be renewed. Salvation will become so real to you, you will become so convinced of your salvation and of all its benefits that your mind will be able to rest securely in God, no longer capable of being penetrated by doubt and unbelief. Those questionable areas in your mind that the enemy used to attack regularly will no longer be accessible. With the helmet of salvation firmly in place, you will be completely surrounded both mentally and emotionally by the truth of all that is yours in Jesus Christ. So put it on and keep it on. Next week, it's my favorite, y'all. It's the sword of the Spirit, the spoken word of God. Oh, boy. It is so important to get the word in you. It is so important to get the word in you. Get the word in you. Get it in you. Get it in you. That way, when a quote-unquote woke dude tries to tell you Jesus is racist, you will know the word of God. Red, yellow, black, brown, and orange. All are precious in his sight. Amen, Pastor Robert? Hey, listen, there's one last thing. Well, let's pray together and I'll announce something. Lord, thank you for your word, that it's a lamp unto our feet, it's a light unto our path. Lord, thank you for the opportunity, God, to come sit under the teaching of your word. Thank you for the opportunity, God, that we have here in the United States of America. Thank you, God, for this opportunity to learn your word. May it be a lamp, God, may it open eyes to see, ears to hear. May there be revelation tonight. God, if there's strongholds in the room, I pray, God, whether rational or irrational, God, I just pray that the soaking of the water of the word, Lord, that it cleanses us, that it cleanses us. Thank you for the sanctification that comes from being in your presence, from reading the word, from having the Holy Spirit on the inside of us. And God, I just pray that tonight, Lord, that you're doing a great and mighty thing in somebody's life, in my life, God. And Lord, I just pray, your word does not return void, but it accomplishes what it's meant and it's sent to do. Lord, I just pray tonight, God, we receive this word, like receive the helmet of salvation, and we choose to put it on. We choose to talk differently. We choose to act differently. We choose, God, we pray, I just pray that tonight, God, that people would leave here that knowing that they can reason like you reason, act like you act, talk like you talk. Lord, I pray that as we walk in that, we would think like you think. In Jesus' name, amen. Amen.
Thank you for joining us today. You can stay connected with us through our website, arenaoflifechurch.org, or follow us on Instagram or Facebook. God bless you and keep you.